Well, tonight, as we continue our series through the book of Psalms, we come to Psalm 126. If you're using your pew Bible, you can find this on page 675. Again, this is another song of ascents. This is Psalm 126. Hear now the living word of God. A song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. When our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Though he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word. This psalm for us this evening is a psalm for pilgrims who are enduring hardships. It's a psalm for those who are experiencing great difficulty and trial and yet are looking forward to relief, looking forward to being restored, looking forward to having joy brought back into their life. And it's done by looking back at what had been done before. And in that, giving confidence for what lies ahead. Tonight, as we consider this psalm, it's a psalm that will hopefully give us comfort. It's a psalm that we can, as we endure various difficult times in our own lives, that we can look to this psalm as a means of comfort to us. And so the application that we'll be coming away with is for you and I to be comforted, for our God will turn our sorrow into joy. To be comforted, for God will turn our sorrow into joy. Well, looking at this psalm really in its entirety in three different ways. First of all, we'll be looking at this psalm in reference to Zion itself, that city of old. Be comforted by the restoration of Zion. Now, as the ESV has it here, this verse 1 is, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. But then also in verse 4, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. That word fortunes there, as we'll be singing here shortly, it could also be translated as captives. Restore or return our captivity. So it could refer to the exile, as the people looking back at the exile and the joy that would have been experienced as people were brought back to the land of promise. But it could also just be simply restore the fortunes. And it could be referring to the times as we read through the scriptures of when the people of God were brought into tremendous hardship, usually by their own sinfulness and idolatry, and then restored. You know, you think about the period of the judges when there is always this cycle of falling into sin and God bringing an enemy against them, but then bringing a judge to restore them. This cycle, those types of restoring of fortunes could also be in view. The restoring that is brought to God's people in this context. You know, and if we think about the imagery here of a sower that is weeping as they sow and then is rejoicing as they bring in the grain, you know, that restoring of fortunes, that picture fits in with that. As a land that was once left fallow or parched is then restored. The imagery here of like streams in the Negev. The Negev was a wilderness, but during the rainy periods there would be streams and there would be a restoring of land around them. Either way we take it, either the returning of captives, as our Psalter takes it, or as the ESV takes it here, a restoring of the fortunes of God's people, The amazing thing here in these verses is the effect that it has on the nations. As the nations look at what God is doing to his people, there is a rejoicing among the nations as well. Now, that fits in well with the whole exile picture. As we read about Cyrus being raised up and he encouraged the Israelites to go back to their land and gave them provisions, and there was, in a sense, a rejoicing in that regard as the people were going back to their land. This restoring of God's people is a source of joy for those around them as they look and they see how God deals with his people. And this, of course, brings great joy to God's people. As verse 3 says, "And we are glad." You know, God's people, thinking about the good things and the great things that the Lord has done for them, it says, "We are glad." You know, the picture there is of an incredible celebration. You know, there should be an exclamation point, I think, after that sentence. You know, we were glad. You know, thinking about what God had done for his people. And it's that remembrance then in verse 4 that turns into a request. You know, the imagery of a sower, someone who is farming, sowing in tears and reaping with joy, it could refer to, you know, land that's being restored, literally. But it can also just be a picture for us of the type of joy that people have that are being restored by God, that have been taken through a great trial and difficulty and are in the process of being exalted to a certain degree, to be restored by God. And the emphasis in those words, it's, you know, those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. And then verse 6, he who goes out weeping, bearing seed, and shall come home with shouts of joy. There's a repetition of the going and a repetition of the coming. It's an emphasis of the certainty of this restoration. And where the psalmist, who is in the midst of great trial and difficulty, is looking back on what God had done in the past and restoring the fortunes of his people, is then has confidence to approach God and pray for that same restoration, to pray for that same treatment and that same love and that same grace to be shown. And the request is given in such a way that there is confidence in what will happen. It shall come. Now, as we, brothers and sisters, as we go through various trials and difficulties, for us it is helpful to keep in mind how God treated his people of old, the darkness that he brought them through, and restoring them. You know, that is the pattern that our God has, not abandoning his people, but being with them, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of exile, even in the midst of the chastisement and discipline that was brought upon them, and bringing them through that and restoring them. And that is what this psalm is referencing, and that is the joy of that restoration is remembered. But it also gives confidence in the midst of difficulty to trust in that God, that same God who restored his people of old. And so as we think about the times that the Lord has restored his people, as it is recorded for us in the scriptures, this is to be a source of comfort for us as we find ourselves in various trials and difficulties, to look back at what God has done, to find comfort in that, in approaching him. So find comfort, brothers and sisters, by remembering the past restorations that God has given to his people. Now, the second way I want to look at this psalm is to be comforted by the restoration of Jesus. As we consider the psalms really speak about, predominantly, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who fulfills them. They apply to our lives, obviously, and they give us comfort, and they teach us and instruct us in how we approach God, how we express our frustrations at times, how we express our joy to him. But their primary reference point is the Lord Jesus Christ. In his life, they speak of him. And so this psalm does speak of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you consider with me Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, we read that, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Our Lord Jesus Christ was known as a man of sorrows during his ministry here on earth. You know, imagine being the eternal Son of God who has left the realms of glory and is now living among a sinful people. He was truly in exile. And this psalm speaks of a restoration. And as Isaiah 53 goes on, it says, "Yet it was the will of God of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." And then we see, "Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Because of the work of Christ, because of what he did, he has been exalted. He has been glorified. He has been given a portion with the many, a portion with the great. He has divided the spoil with the strong. Another way that Scripture puts this is, as we consider Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. There the author of the Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Here we have our Lord Jesus Christ. As the author says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God." In this way, I think Psalm 26 points us to the life, death, resurrection, and ascension, the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was restored to that former glory that he had with the Father before the world began. Philippians 2 verse 9 tells us that through Jesus' fulfillment of his Father's will, that he has been given a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every name or every knee will bow. And again, with this in view, the nations see this and rejoice. People of every nation, every tribe, every tongue will confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, is our Savior. As we think back about our Lord Jesus Christ and the hardship that he endured for us, and we think back of how he has been exalted and restored to his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father, let us find comfort in that, in the midst of our own suffering, in the midst of our own trials, in the midst of our own persecutions. Let us remember what our Lord Jesus Christ endured, how he has been exalted, and be comforted in that knowledge and understanding. This brings me, brothers and sisters, to the final one, to be comforted by the coming restoration of all of God's people. You know, this psalm in the first half, it looks back. And it looks back and remembers the great fanfare that happened when the fortunes of Zion were restored. The nations were rejoicing, but the people were rejoicing as well. They were like those who dream. You know, we have a saying, it's like, this is too good to be true. You know, it's that type of experience that the people were in such joy and ecstasy of what was going on that they were like those who were just having a dream and were rejoicing. And we've all had those dreams where we wake up and we wish we could go back to sleep to experience them again because they are so good. This is what the people's life was like at this moment as they were remembering it. Again, they were filled with laughter. Imagine a great throng of people just laughing at what's going on because they are so joyous of what is going on. Their tongues were filled with shouts of joy. That is why the nations could look at them and rejoice. Brothers and sisters, as we consider what God has done for us, in what He has done for our Lord and Savior, what He has done for the people of old, as we are in the midst of our own exile here in this life, our own dark valleys that we go through, let us remember the goodness of God and that the future is certain. That is the language of the final verses as this plea comes, restore the fortunes, O Lord, our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Again, the language there in verse 6 is, there's a repetition that is used for emphasis to show the certainty of what's going to happen. You know, as I'm sure you would talk to those involved in farming, you know, they would go out and they would sow with sweat and toil and tears, but the rejoicing and bringing the sheaves is not guaranteed. You might have a very bad year where your crop is lost and ruined. The certainty that is expressed here is one where there is sowing, but the reward is certain. It is fixed. There is toil that we experience here in this life, but the reward that is to come is certain. There's not a chance that it will fall away. To remind us of some of these rewards that are certain, I want to first read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. Here we read from the Apostle Paul, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." The trials that we go through and the difficulties that we go through, the various ways we suffer in this life are not in vain. They're not in vain. They produce for us an eternal weight of glory. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18, where Paul says that, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. This life that we live here, brothers and sisters, we see in verse 17 that this, where Paul says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, as we consider this in light of the psalm that we're looking at tonight, in Psalm 126, what those passages from the New Testament show us in 1 and 2 Corinthians is what this restoration that we're looking for is to be. It is something that is certain, that is fixed. You know, when we consider that hope and that glory that awaits, we can cry out in first, as Paul does in 1 Corinthians, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And we can look back at the trials that we face in this life, and we can put it in perspective and say that they are all a momentary and light affliction compared to that glory and that hope that awaits. Remember, Psalm 126, it looks back at past restorations and finds comfort in them. As we look back at how God restored the fortunes of his people, those are all pointing towards that great day when he returns and he makes all things new in that final restoration. And so this prayer here in the closing of Psalm 126, restore the fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Or if you take the translation that it's exiled, restore our captivity, O Lord, like the streams of the Negev. We are all captives here, exiles. And we are all looking towards that day when Christ returns and makes all things new. So as we face our afflictions, as we face those trials that we have in our life, that God brings into our life, let us remember and find comfort in the restorations that God has done in the past as we look towards that future restoration that is promised and that is certain and that will happen. We will be those who sow in tears and return with rejoicing. We will be those who go out weeping as we sow the seed, but come home with shouts of joy in that last great day. Now, brothers and sisters, this psalm is a psalm for pilgrims enduring hardship. And we are all facing various hardships to various degrees. And in the times that we face those dark periods, what this psalm reminds us of and calls us to is to remember our God, to remember who he is, to remember how he works in the lives of his people, how he has never abandoned his people, how he has always restored his people. Now those restorations point us to that fixed and sure day when he restores all of his people in glory before him. So let us, brothers and sisters, be comforted by this truth. Because though we are sorrowful today, God will restore us and bring us joyfully into his presence for all of eternity. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do thank you that you have fixed a day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and all things will be made new and we will be glorified in your presence. May we, Lord, look to the way in which you have restored the fortunes of your people in the past, and may we find comfort in them as you even glorified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, exalting his name above every name. And may we long for and look forward to that day when you will restore and make all things new when he returns. May this bring us comfort in our times of sorrow now as we look forward to that day when we will be joyful in your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.